This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome to Cannabis Talk A to Z, an educational odyssey with your host, Frankie Boyer.
And welcome. And after reading Can Legal Weed Win, I was thinking I may have to change the title of my show to not Cannabis Talk, but We Talk A to Z. I'll explain all of that in just a moment, but let me first introduce, I just want to share with all of you, we have needed a book that makes common sense about the money piece and all of the wonderful industries that spin off from the cannabis world. And we have it in Can Legal Weed Win, written by two economists, Robin Goldstein, Daniel Sumner, and this book is a very important book, very important. It talks about where we've been, it talks about where we are, and it talks about where we are going in the field of cannabis, or as they call it, weed. So let me first introduce Robin. Robin Goldstein is an economist and author of The Wine Trails, the controversial expose of wine snobbery that became the world's best-selling guide to cheap wine. Yeah, that two-buck chuck. He is director of the Cannabis Economics Group in the Department of Agriculture and Resource Economics at the University of California. And we are so thrilled to have both of you. Daniel is a Frank H. Buck Jr. Distinguished Professor of Agriculture and Resource Economics at the University of California, Davis. He grew up on a California fruit farm, served on the President's Council of Economic Advisors, was Assistant Secretary of Economics at the United States Department of Agriculture before joining UC Davis faculty. And I am so thrilled to have you both with us. And Robin, we say hello to you from Boston because I know you went to Harvard for your undergrad. Welcome to you both. Seriously, this book, I am just over the moon with this book. So, first of all, tell everybody why the title. Robin, let me go with you first.
Thanks, Frankie. It's a pleasure to be here, and thanks for your kind words. Can Legal Weed Win? A lot of people hear that title and they say, "Win? How do you mean? How could legal weed not win? Weed gets legalized, and all of a sudden the market goes legal, right?" Well, we look at it, and we look at the economics of it, and we look at the history of the market, and we say, "Well, there's been this thriving illegal market for many years." Providing a good product at a good price, and all of a sudden you create a legal market that competes with the illegal market side by side. Can that legal market beat the illegal market? And what will make people switch from illegal weed to legal weed? And what will enable people who grow weed, people who sell weed, and everyone in the industry to be able to not just survive but thrive and create a really vibrant industry like we have in other agricultural sectors. And so that's the topic we take on with the book.
And Daniel, I want to ask you about the title and the word weed, because it's so confusing. We all know the pejorative context of the word marijuana, and that goes back eons ago. Cannabis is a wild, wide open word, but tell us why weed?
A simple one syllable, and everybody knows how to pronounce it. How's that? But the serious answer is, as you'll notice, we also stick the word cannabis in our subtitle, The Blunt Realities of Cannabis Economics, because In fact, the legal industry and the regulators fairly quickly figured out that they didn't want to say marijuana. When we first started doing this work, the Bureau of Marijuana Control in California, Medical Marijuana Control, I think is what it was called, and they realized they didn't want to use that word anymore. Cannabis is really a biological term. I happen to spend a lot of my time hanging around with people in the plant sciences, and they will use that word for a species of plant, but that's not what we're really talking about. So hemp is a variety of cannabis, for example, but that's not what we're talking about. And so Robin did the Google searches. We poked around. I dredged out some terms from the late 60s, early 70s. He said, nah, that's not going to work, Sumner. And weed is the winner. And that's so, and weed has done well. Our question is, what about legal weed? And Robin characterized that, I think, quite well there. We could have degrees of winning here. You can win the World Series and not have won every game all season long. And I think
that's right.
It is reasonable to think about this. Some people use the metaphor of a marathon. I'd like to say it's a long season that is going on here. So we'll see. But that's our question, and we think we have at least some pretty good information towards an answer.
One of the pieces of the story that I like to talk about, communities are making a lot of money from all of the taxing and all of the money that they give back into the communities. And so when you first hear about a neighborhood saying, I don't want that shop in my neighborhood, I don't want that dispensary in my neighborhood, and then they start hearing about the stories and the money that's starting to flow, and they change their tune. My question to you guys is that, will the cannabis companies be able to support those communities? Because the taxing, and we need to talk about all of this in this hour. You are both here for the full hour, and I'm really thrilled because, first of all, if you could tell us where we are in the state of cannabis today, right now, where are we in the state of legal and recreational and medicinal cannabis? Where are we right now?
So, you know, that's a really complicated question. So let's break it down just very quickly, and I'll just start by summarizing where are we in the United States or in North America in this legalization process, because that's the first thing to keep straight.
That is the first
cannabis,
thing, yes.
Weed has been around for a long time, so legal weed is everywhere. It's in every community. Communities that say, we don't want legal weed here, well, fine. You could make that decision, then you'll have just that much more illegal weed. That's probably not what people have in mind, but that's what they get. And what we know is that most of the United States, most people in the United States, most of the population have access to legal weed, either medical or recreational. Some people call adult use. It turns out those it doesn't really matter too much in a lot of practical senses. Oklahoma, for example, hasn't yet legalized adult use, but they have more cannabis shops per capita than anywhere in the country. So there's a sense in which there are technical differences, but there's a sense in which whether you call it medicinal use or not doesn't matter too much. And so I emphasize that most states now have one or the other, and they have a continuum in terms of degrees of how flexible the governments are about allowing the industry, that is the legal industry, to compete effectively against the illegal industry. And we know, you know, Massachusetts has been doing this for a while, but still very expensive there. We know New York is coming on, but they haven't quite gotten their act together. There's all kinds of headlines about New Jersey's going to do remarkable things. We'll see. North Carolina just said they're moving towards medical. So it really is a continuum. It's a patchwork across states. Places like Colorado, of course, are a mature industry by now.
So when
I would add, Frankie, that
yes, go ahead, Rob.
You mentioned this. Yeah, you mentioned this. You know, question about local. You know, local authorities wanting to make tax money off of it, and people seeing opportunities. And what one interesting thing is that there, one of the big variations in the ways that different people who different states that have legalized have done it is how much control they give local authorities or towns.
Yes, I'm going
to
let you.
To say,
Robin, I'm going to let you finish that when we come back from break. We have to take a quick break, though. Robin Goldstein is with us.
Sure.
Daniel Sumner is with us. It is called Can Legal Weed Win? The Blunt Realities of Cannabis Economics. And is there a website, guys?
We'd prefer to have people just go read the book. So you can just, Can Legal Weed Win on Amazon, order the book, and that's where.
Okay.
And
we'll be right back.
Feedback from readers.
Hi, my name is Peter, founder of Ruby Bees. I developed a product to help my daughter, Ruby. She suffers from cerebral palsy. She suffers from seizures. She can't talk, communicate, or feed herself. We developed a product that has helped mitigate her seizures. Using sweet and delicious clover honey infused with hemp-derived CBD, I developed Ruby Bees. She takes 2 honey sticks in the morning, 2 honey sticks at night, and she's been seizure-free for 4 years. To learn more about our journey and our products, please visit rubybees.com. Again, that's rubybees.com. Again, that's rubybees.com.
All Ruby Bees products are made with hemp-derived isolate and are third-party lab-tested to contain 0% THC.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to give you a URL that can and will change your life. You will simply investigate it and look into it for your own self. Do your own research. This is an absolute 360 win for GCN, for American Tax Solutions, and for you. Ladies and gentlemen, these are top tax lawyers that will deliver you super service very, very quickly and change your life. The average person can save up to 90% on their taxes. Visit GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering next drive.
Now, you You want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back. Cannabis Talk, A to Z, an educational odyssey with Frankie Boyer. Full hour about the blunt realities of cannabis economics. It's the new book by Robin Goldstein and Daniel Sumner. It's called Can Legal Weed Win? And I have to tell you, this is, it's a very important book. And we have to talk about, will this industry survive? That is a big question, and you have a lot of questions that you ask at throughout the book, and we will delve into those in just a moment. But I just want to ask you guys. So many of the senators and congressmen and women were not very favorable when it comes to the cannabis legalization story. And yet, now that many of them are no longer serving, they're on the board of some of the major players. Kind of crazy dichotomy going on here. Can you share a little bit about that?
I'll just say, isn't capitalism great? You know, follow the money, you know.
It's true.
I don't find it puzzling or surprising, frankly, but that's the revolving door sort of thing in Washington is well known. And if you have an industry, and I'm sure the members of the Senate or the House who are now lobbying for the cannabis industry or working for them or on the boards of companies could explain themselves quite, they're articulate people. They would have lots of reasons.
Yes. Yes. Okay. I just think some of them are very famous. Former Speaker of the House, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Leader of the Senate. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it is really quite common for members.
Yes. Of course,
former
it is.
Members.
Yes.
To work with and for industries, and you know, you do get these strange bedfellows. But let me say, If Senator Daschle from South Dakota would have 15 or 20 years ago, when he was a very powerful member of the Senate, would have said, gee, I think I've decided that weed is great, so let's legalize it, he wouldn't have been in the Senate anymore.
Yes.
That's,
you know that, and I know that. It's true.
You know.
It's very fair.
You know,
so give me an idea of how many people are using cannabis recreationally and medicinally. Do you have a number in this country, the percentage of people?
You know, that, and let me say two things about that very quickly, and then I'll turn it to Robin. You know, 20-30%, maybe. I mean, we're talking about adults here, or people who
adults,
are
yes.
Pretending like they're adults. You know, teenagers
yeah.
sometimes, but I would say that number has not changed very much over the last half dozen years. And in particular, when they legalize medical marijuana in North Carolina, as they're going to, that's not going to change the amount of cannabis consumed very much at all, if at all. And so we do not want, and I think this is a fair statement, your audience shouldn't think, oh, legalization means a lot more cannabis consumption, because we don't think that's what happens. It can shift at least some of those customers into the legal market. It turns out maybe not a high share of them, maybe 25 or 30% of them would shift to legal, and the rest would say, no thanks, I think I'm happy the way it's working now.
In the book, you talk about the origin of this plant. And would one of you like to tell us the story? It's a great chapter in the book, a great piece in the book. Can one of you share with us what that is?
Well, certainly we're not experts in that, and we quote liberally from a lot of good books, other books that have been written on the subject that are by experts and historians. But I kind of the short version is it's been around pretty much forever, as long as recorded history goes back and probably further. You know, it was used in ancient Greece, ancient Egypt, and it was used for medicinal purposes, and then probably what we now call recreational. I think one point we make when we talk about the history of it that we find interesting is that, you know, for most of recorded history, there hasn't been this distinction between recreational and medical. There's this idea, you know, recreation, the origins of the word recreation actually mean, refer to health or refer to well-being, which today we associate with this idea of medicine. And so the idea of consuming a substance that relaxes you or that might take away your pain if you're in pain, but might also just put you in a better mood and reduce your stress. These things all kind of went together, and there wasn't this idea that, oh, if you have a diagnosed medical condition, then you're suddenly a doctor says you're allowed to use certain things that you're not allowed to use if you're in good health. That's a really new idea, and so we spend quite a bit of time talking about the newness of this idea of the medical recreational division.
So is it fair to say that every culture basically has used this plant, and whether it be in ceremonies or just having it, it's been on Earth for that long, is what you're saying?
Yeah, and when you say every, you know, the precise academic sort of guy like me says, wait, there may be some community of somebody in the far north around the Arctic Circle that didn't have a culture of using weed. But the answer right. is, yeah, almost everywhere, and it certainly was very widely spread, say, throughout the 20th century, and then going back, as Robin said, in lots of parts of the world. Famous parts of the world, like Egypt, it was thoroughly embedded within society 3,000 years ago.
Right, and King Solomon used it in ceremonies. They've been there. There's, you know, folklore about that. He used it in his at the altar on the beamer.
There you go.
So, let's go back to when did this all go awry? When did this product that was in many medical bags by doctors that prescribed it. And by the way, I believe if you go back in history of smoking, they also recommended cigarettes as well. Didn't they way back in the early days of smoking cigarettes that it was good for your health somewhat?
As recently as the early 50s,
There were magazine ads showing doctors in lab coats.
That's right.
Strike for the treatment of throat condition. So, actually, I think it's important to distance it from cigarettes, and that we haven't seen any, you know, scientific evidence that cigarettes are good for you. But the idea that this is arbitrary, that it's depending on a fashion or a prevailing norm in the medical community or in the political community, I think is important to keep in mind.
We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back, I promise. Can legal weed win? The blunt realities of cannabis economics. We'll be back with Robin and Daniel in a moment. Frankie Boyer, Cannabis Talk A to Z, and Educational Odyssey.
Don't be stressed out or anxious. Take Hempanol, the only raw CO2 hemp extract available. It's 100% organic with wild oregano P73 extract. You might have heard about CBD, but there's no comparison. Hempanol has the power and potency you need to support your nervous system, stay calm and focused, and maintain a healthy immune system. Unlike other CBD oils, Hempanol contains the full spectrum of phytocannabinoids. Take Hempanol and feel great. And if you suffer from insomnia and can't seem to get that full night's rest, try Hempanol PM. Hempanol PM is specifically formulated to get you the rest you need without feeling sluggish when you wake. It's non-addictive, completely completely natural and leaves you feeling energetic and ready to take on the day. To place your order or to find out where to find Hempanol in your area, call 1-800-243-5242, 800-243-5242, or visit us at oreganol.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
All across the country, people are coming together to speed up what we can learn about health. The All of Us Research Program is calling on 1 million people to join us as we try to change the future of health. For your family, for future generations, for all of us. Visit joinallofus.org and find out how you can become one in a million.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
Welcome back. It is Cannabis Talk A to Z, an educational odyssey with Frankie Boyer, talking about the blunt realities of cannabis economics. Yes, Robin Goldstein, Daniel Sumner is with us. Can Legal Weed Win is their brand new book. And So we were talking about the uses, and where did we get into this trouble of cannabis, weed, whatever you want to call it, marijuana? When did it go awry in this country? Why was it, who was the one that put their foot down and said, no, we don't want this? Was it a conflict with the alcohol community? Was it a conflict with the big pharma community? Where did this, decades ago, when did it go awry?
Probably all of the above, and Robin can tell this history, but I'll say it. You go back to the 1920s, and you have people pointing out, and remember, that was about the time of Prohibition as well, but you had people trying to block the use of marijuana, sometimes associating it with foreigners and calling it marijuana for that reason rather than cannabis or whatever the nickname was among the people that were using it. Yeah.
Reefer madness, yes.
And, you know, the famous vilifications happened a very long time ago, but in the 20th century. And then Robin can tell you the famous Richard Nixon interventions, which became politically useful, I think is the best way to say that.
Yeah, so first you had the two big figures are Harry Anslinger, who in the 30s was this very conservative member of Congress who led this charge, you know, associating the use of weed with Hispanic immigrants and claiming without any evidence that it was responsible for crimes, for violent crimes, and kind of running a propaganda campaign against it. For that reason, that was when this movement to turn it into an illegal narcotic. But before that time, it had been widely accepted as a medical treatment for many different conditions. It was, some people claim it was 50% of all prescribed medicines had some kind of cannabis in them, you know, before that time. But then you fast forward to the 1970s, around 1970, and Richard Nixon, who was famously an enemy of hippies, black people, and immigrants. And so you had, you know, kind of using that as a, he started using it as a political tool. And what was interesting about what Nixon did wasn't just illegalizing it in more and increasing the penalties in America, but also in imposing political pressure on other countries to follow suit and to legalize in other countries. And so the United States started basically imposing things like trade sanctions against other countries that didn't make it illegal and didn't impose penalties for its use. And so that was an important part of his political platform. And then since then, even though, you know, there were studies commissioned under the Carter administration in the late 1970s, actually a bunch of doctors were commissioned to do a large scale study on whether cannabis was harmful, whether it should continue to be on this, you know, scheduled illegal narcotic on the same level as heroin. And basically the doctors came back and said, no, it's not like heroin. It's got therapeutic uses. And it's, you know, there's no known deaths from overdoses. And so there's a lot less harms associated with cannabis than there have been with many other substances that are legal. They basically submitted this report. And then the Reagan administration came in, and there was a movement back toward on the right, back toward all, you know, the war on drugs that started in the early 80s, and then that kind of all got thrown out. So it was like we were on the verge of moving toward where we're moving now, you know, 30 years ago or more, and it just got stopped in its track by political waves. And then it took a long time to come back. So this stuff kind of goes up and down in waves.
Do you think that we will ever see an entire country that will legalize weed?
Well, Canada's very close to it now. However, let's say they also have lots of opt-out regions, and they have different, as Canada does in the U.S., Canada has provinces that do things differently. Though it's nationally legal within Canada, But for a long time, for example, it was nationally legal, but there were no processed products. There's no edibles, for example, in legal cannabis stores. And, of course, they tax it and regulate it enough that the illegal industry is still booming. So, and they are the national example that people point to. Mexico
yes,
may
they
be
do.
Very
they are.
Soon.
Yeah, Mexico's legalized, but they haven't, you know, they've basically agreed to legalize, but they haven't yet set a regulatory system and process where you can buy it legally at a store. And so one of the things we say in the book is, you know, the word legalization is really confusing because, you know, there's decriminalization just saying it's not a crime to possess it or consume it, but that doesn't really make it legal if you can't sell it legally.
And you have to
buy from someone who's doing something illegal in order to be selling it to you. That's not really legalization.
I was just going to say, and about all the other problems with banking in this country. I mean, it's just amazing that a few years ago.
Talk for a second or two, Frankie, about the national legalization in the U.S.
Yes. Because it's crazy.
If you think that you.
The insanity is that some states. It's legal. You can't transfer from one state to another right now in this country. And more importantly, banking is still an issue and still it's getting better, but it's still a problem. And so, yes, please talk about that.
Well, let's just say the way it sits now is being a severe felony on the books anyway with respect to the federal government. That means that not just banking, but the tax law, the federal tax law is crazy. And in fact, Clarence Thomas wanted the Supreme Court to review this stuff because he argues it's violating all kinds of things that the Supreme Court would normally allow in an industry if it was legal within states. But the rest of the court disagreed with him, as they did back in a California case where two nice ladies were drinking tea in their backyard and were raided by the FBI. And he said, gee, this is a state issue. It was legal in California at the time. What's the FBI doing here? But the rest of the court, including Ginsburg, interestingly enough, Ginsburg and Scalia agreeing with each other, thinking that...
One of the rare times, yeah.
Weed was bad stuff. So we do have this trouble in the United States that if we're going to leave it federally illegal, that's a real problem even for people within states. So within Colorado, people have to worry. And in fact, this famous case about the banking and tax issues brought by a wholesale company called Standing Akimbo, wonderfully named company. But the Supreme Court wouldn't hear that. The problem that we have is when the senators and the members of Congress decide to legalize, they will leap in it with both feet, add all kinds of complications, add all kinds of taxes, immense regulations, and many of us would say, gee, don't bother. You may make it worse. So now you're in Colorado and you can buy weed, or Massachusetts and you can buy weed, and by the time the feds are done with it, it's going to cost double again. Illegal weed, and they may be more likely to kill it by legalizing it than actually help the industry.
I want to ask you both, who's making money in the industry today? Is anyone?
It's a really good question, and it's hard to evaluate because, you know, these days in the startup company world or in the world of the way the companies are being financed and built, you can make money by investing at an early stage in a company and then getting out in the next round. So if you get a bunch of people behind your initial investment and then you sell out later but still at an early stage before the company's profitable, you can make money that way. But traditionally, the way you make money on building a company is to build a profitable company that's long-term sustainable. And that's where we see very little, there are very little signs right now that any of the big cannabis companies are making money or that are showing signs of being
so the question I have
long term.
So the question I have to both of you when we come back from our last break is, will the industry survive? That's the question. Can Legal Weed Win is the new book, The Blunt Realities of Cannabis Economics. And we will be back with Robin and Daniel in just a moment. I'm Frankie Boyer. Stay tuned to Cannabis Talk, A to Z, an Educational Odyssey.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one. RAD. Consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Here's a question for you. Why is it that some people aren't as stressed out about the future as you'd think they'd be? Answer? They're probably among the millions of Americans who have prepared themselves with emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. If the worst ever happens, literally millions of American families are already protected from dealing with empty store shelves. Is yours? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now and grab some emergency food kits, at least one for each member of your family. These kits give you a wide variety of delicious meals that average over 2,000 calories per day. Everything stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Order your kits now by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your order will ship fast and arrive discreetly in unmarked boxes. Listen, this is something you need to jump on now, before the next news headline stuns the world. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Welcome back. The blunt realities of cannabis economics. Oh my gosh. Two economists, Robin Goldstein, Daniel Sumner, are with us. Can legal weed win is their book. Can legal weed win? And what a wonderful conversation we've had. Not enough time. I want to go back, if you wouldn't mind, guys, to just this conversation. Do you see a future where the banking will get straightened out and that the states will be able to be shipping and all of that? I don't know. What do you think?
My quick phrase is if the federal government would, the way I phrase it is I say let cannabis be kale. We don't need a bunch of stuff from the feds. We don't need anything other than decriminalization, unscheduling it. The last thing in the world legal weed needs is a whole bunch of federal regulations, et cetera, et cetera. Just let it go. And states, you know, as much as we may not like a patchwork, that's probably better than laying a federal stuff on top. And as soon as you decriminalize it, the silly banking rules and tax rules and the like go away at the federal level. So I would say, we were talking about medical weed a while ago. First do no harm is not a bad motto when you think about what governments need to do now.
And when you have federal legalization, another thing that comes up, as you mentioned, Frankie, is competition between states. And one of the things we say in the book is that's going to be good for some folks in the industry and bad for others, because it's going to mean that states where weed now is expensive are going to have to compete with imported states, weed that's imported from other states where it's cheaper to produce. And so it's not so simple as, oh, everyone's going to be better off when it's federally legalized. There'll be winners and losers in that game.
Yeah, trade never makes everybody better off, but in general, it makes society as a whole, the industry as a whole, will be healthier because you'll be growing it and processing it and shipping it in the places where it's best suited.
Do you think?
Again, and, like and, kale.
Yeah. Do you think that the number of people in our prisons right now due to minor infractions with, and you're a lawyer, Robin, you understand, you got your law degree from Yale. What will it do with the economics if we could change the legalization piece to the story nationwide?
Well, it's important to remember that most of the people who are in, the vast majority of people who are in a prison for weed offenses are in state prisons, are under violations of state law. And so in the states that have already legalized, you've had a lot of people been freed already, and families reunited, people who are, you know, from the point of view of the voters, from the point of view of the people who believe that this shouldn't have been such a big offense, that's just an unequivocally good thing. But it'll be up to the states one by one to continue to free those people. Fewer people in prison for this than before, and I think that's one of the, no matter what we say about the state of the industry, it's definitely a positive development that people are being let out of a prison for these offenses, yes, that we don't really believe should have been offenses to begin with.
To begin with. And there are still people 20 years and 30 years. It's sad. It's sad because of they fell into the cracks. And I know there are a lot of wonderful organizations.
Yeah, we're still early along that path. Yep.
Yes, yes. So are we going to see a country that will benefit from financial pieces of this weed story, guys?
Well, we think, if you want to say legal weed wins if it maintains 20, 30, 40% of weed consumption nationally, that is, it legal weed also wins as illegal weed wins too. You know, they coexist, and we think it's positive to draw economic activity into the legal part of it. Maybe we're old-fashioned in that way, but we think the more you can help let an industry be legal, that's just better for society as a whole. And so that's a win. It's also better for the economy to have more of the activities in the legal system. And that is everything from following environmental rules to sanitation, things like that. So we think it's healthy to be legal if we can figure out a way to make it happen.
And within the industry, the segments that there's the less sexy segments sometimes tend to be the ones that make more money. Like there's there's services, service providers for the industry, software providers, people who are helping dispensaries run things smoothly, comply with state rules and so forth, that are doing well. Everyone wants to have their own fancy weed brand, and that's a tough market because there's a lot of competition. You're competing with Snoop Dogg and Matt Damon. You know, everyone wants to have their weed brand. That's tough. But for people who want to try to set up logistical systems that help other companies prosper, there's a lot of opportunity there.
So as we are navigating, and we're still in the early phases, if someone is listening to this program, they're saying, wow, maybe this isn't the place for me to go and get rich quick. But is it a place to go in and get an established amount of money and be able to find some trade and find jobs?
Probably. But you got it like everything else. You better know what you're doing. You know, I've been working with farmers for decades now, and the people that and people go into farming and leave because it's hard and it's hard to make a living.
It is hard. And you know what?
Restaurants in that way, right?
And it's hard doing a radio show with you guys. It's hard doing a radio show with you guys because there's just not enough time. So this is part one. I promise there will be part two coming soon. Can legal weed win?
Come on again.
The blunt realities of cannabis economics. Robin Goldstein and Daniel Sumner, thank you so much. Great, great book. Everyone should pick it up. It's an important book in today's world. It really is. And thank you all. This has been another edition of Cannabis Talk A to Z, an educational odyssey with Frankie Boyer. Thanks for listening. Make it a great day, everybody. And as always, smile.
And maybe tomorrow you'll see that life is still worthwhile.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.